Hi, everybody. My name is Larry Thomas, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Larry.
And I want to thank you guys for having me come out and be with you guys. And I'm really taken aback to be here with you. This is a very special weekend for me and for a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're getting ready to stumble on our anniversary here, Founders Day. And right now, that's exactly what we're reading about. We're reading about how one of our founders is getting ready for us. And this whole process of identification that you guys have taught me how to do here is because, although I did start on page 69, you can't help but identify, if you be an alcoholic, with what this man's going through. I believe that there's any couple pages of identification in this book, I believe that's what Bill's story is all about. Right away in this book, Bill starts talking about one alcoholic talking to another. He's not talking about drunken behavior. He's talking about what we're like when we're sober. My brain raced uncontrollably, and there was a terrible sense of impending calamity. Good God Almighty, how many of us feel that? Not just so much when we're new, but the ongoing depression and the emotions of the alcoholic when he's not drink are the very things that drive him to drink. Most alcoholics of our type, they drink because of the way they feel when they're sober. Sobriety drives them to drink time and time and time again because they can't stop that racing head of theirs, that guilt-ridden mind, where all the nightmares and all of the things that you've done, the remorse is right there. And no matter how much you not want to drink, it just doesn't have sufficient force. And this man begins to read, or every time you read this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to remember that when Bill was writing this book, he was thinking that you were coming along with him. He's thinking that the people that are reading it are like him and are as desperate as he is, and he thinks you're coming right along with them. So when he gets to Bill's story, he's thinking that you've already read Doctor's Opinion and you've known about that phenomenon of craving and the way that we drink and the ease and comfort in which we've always wanted that came immediately with that first drink. And Bill's thinking that you're beginning to identify with, because what he's getting you ready to do is probably one of the hardest things that an alcoholic is going to have to do. And that is, in our book, it talks about conceding to our innermost self that we were alcoholics. This is the hardest thing for an alcoholic to do. One of the hardest things about that first step is to admit that you are an alcoholic. Why? Because we know that means that we're going to have to stop drinking. And that is not a welcome thought to any alcoholic. Isn't it amazing? And that's the nature of our insanity. The insanity of the alcoholic's malady is that he's got this malady that when he's drunk, he wishes that he was sober, and when he's sober, he wishes he was drunk. And he spends the rest of his time, even sometimes in his short intervals in AA, looking for a middle-of-the-road answer. And that's why we have so many people coming in and out of AA. They don't want to get sober. They're hoping they find a middle-of-the-road answer because they have this obsession that maybe somehow, someday, they'll be able to drink like they used to in 1965. I'll find that spot. It won't get me this time. It says science may one day find this, but they haven't done so yet. And that guy's in the meeting going, God, are they still looking? You know? Keep looking, man, you know? Jesus, you know? The remorse and the horror and the hopelessness of the next morning are unforgettable. We are condemned to drink, and, you know, And then John Barleycorn condemns us if we don't drink, man. You got this thing, you better work these steps. Because I'll be here waiting for you, pal. There just ain't no middle of the road answer. And all through the mind and body are marvelous. And that's the things that confused me when I was new in AA. Was that people were telling me that the memory of their last drunk kept them sober. And I wanted that to work for me so hard. And how many of us have been down there with the pigs in the gutter? How many of us have woken up down there in that dirt and that filth that starts from the inside and comes out? How many of us have been down there and wished that that was enough to keep us sober? But isn't it amazing about the power of this malady? How the memory of our last nasty drunk doesn't have sufficient force to keep us sober. Isn't it an amazing thing? That the longer we stay sober, the worse we feel. And the pain of that nasty drunk seems to be pushed away. And we begin to feel the pain of sobriety. And that seems to be worse than any nasty drunk we have. And the pain that we feel when we're sober seems to overcome that nasty drunk that we were going to swear off forever. And what happens to me when I'm not drinking and I'm not doing AA is it squeezes out this little thought. And it comes out of nowhere. But no matter how nasty that last drunk is, all it takes for me to do is not drink and not do AA. And what happens over a period of days or weeks or months is that no matter how bad that last drunk is, and I can see the physical things happening to me. No matter how bad that last drunk is, I can see the mental things going on with me. And I can see the faces and the people and the nightmare. No matter how bad that nasty drunk is, it's just a matter of days when you're not drinking and not doing AA that the only thing sobriety seems to squeak out is this thought that maybe this time it's going to be different. This time it ain't going to get me. God darn it, I'm crazy now and I'm not drinking. I'm surrounded by people who are telling me, Larry, if you don't drink, everything will be all right. And I'm not drinking and I'm not all right. And I'm coming to these meetings and watching you do well. And that doesn't make me feel like a champ either. And I'm coming to these meetings and I'm seeing these clowns with these ties on. And they're saying things like, 30 days ago, I was on the streets of Glasgow. Now I'm the president of the Bank of America. Thank you, you know. My God, I came in with that guy. You know what I mean? And I didn't know what I had. I had no idea the nature of this malady. That Alcoholics Anonymous has nothing to do with just not drinking. That's a heck of a start. That is our... See, AA, you don't come and get anything from AA. You don't even get sober here. You get that around the toilet. Alcoholics Anonymous is for people like some of us do. Alcoholics Anonymous is for some of us, like in this room, where not only do we want sobriety, but we need a brand new way of life because we don't know how to live. We think we do. But what happens to the alcoholic, if he's like me or some of these people, is we're comparers. And the alcoholic is the only goof that I know that the moment he's sober, he starts comparing himself to the guy across the street who isn't even an alcoholic. And he's going, look at that son of a bitch. Look at the car he has. Look at the wife he has. Look how he drinks. God darn it, I know if I just had a normal life, maybe I could do that. And what happens to, and you'll see it happen in AA, that people will come to AA and they'll stop drinking and they'll get a job and they'll get a car and they'll get a little motel room. And it looks to them like the treatment to this disease is normal living. And nothing could be further from the truth. We've got people sitting in this room all over Scotland who've got every material instinct satisfied. And yet they're still restless, irritable, and discontented. The treatment to this malady has nothing to do with the material. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But that's not the solution to this malady. But to that alky, it sure would fix it. Boy, I goddamn, if I could be like that son of a gun, I'd be all right. And you know, isn't it amazing that the alky never compares himself to the alky? He always compares himself to the normie. The obsession that somehow, someday, I will be able to control and enjoy my drinking or be like normal people has to be smashed. Man, we don't want to smash that idea. We don't want to give up that chance of being normal because we can't stand the idea that we're alcoholic and just crazier as all sin. So we always compare ourselves to the normal guy. And you know what? Whenever an alky starts comparing himself, you know he is never going to come out a winner. Because he always does it when he's feeling shitty. He never does it when he's on top of the world. He don't need to. But when we start feeling crappy, we start comparing our, and it's never in anybody in our league. Hence the importance of identification in AA. Hence the importance of one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic for identification. Don't get up, young man. I'm talking to your story. You know what I mean? And that's why, for me, it's so important that when we're in Alcoholics Anonymous, we talk about Alcoholics Anonymous and the solution to this malady. Because you never know when there's an alcoholic who's suffering. The alcoholic who still suffers, not always a guy with 4 days. Most of the time, it's a guy with 4 years. Or 14 years, who has forgotten where he came from or why he should be here. His primary purpose has gotten all out of whack. And what turns it upside down? The pursuit of the material. There is nothing that's given a man a more thirstier throat than women and money. I don't know. I don't know what drives a lady to thirst. Probably the pursuit of that guy with money, and then, you know, I don't know. That's on page 69, I hear. So he's talking our language. He's talking our language. Bill is telling us our story, and every time we hear Eric, every time we hear Lindsay, every time we hear Andy, anytime we hear people share their stories in Alcoholics Anonymous, it's just like we're reading Bill's here. We're not just hearing a drunkalogue. Once you start identifying, like we have tonight, when you read this guy's story, you see his desperate search for peace. And that's what our stories are. Every time we get drunk against our wishes, we're just looking for a little bit of peace. You see, because the alcoholic can't find that when he's sober and it drives him mad. Alkies know how to feel good. They know what it takes to feel good. It's an immediate thing. It's usually something out there coming in this way. But the alky doesn't know peace. Unless he's like us. Unless he's like me and you, who after two or three drinks, we find that spot. We find that spot that nobody else seems to find when they drink. The alcoholic, after two or three shots of bourbon, finds that spot that shuts off his head, closes that hole in the gut, takes away the anxiety, takes away the doubts, fills them up, makes them strong, and to him he finds peace. And it's the realest thing we know. It's the surest thing we got. And we come to Alcoholics Anonymous and we find that the persistence of that illusion is astonishing. Now, what did they just say? What they just told you is that your search for peace that you've been looking for a place that's not even there. But to the alcoholics, as real as rain. I didn't know that that didn't happen to anybody that drank. I thought everybody drank, stepped into that beautiful spot. No. Just us in this room tonight. We're the only ones that can take three shots of drinking and turn it into Disneyland like that. A naked Disneyland. You know what I mean? You are, no matter what's going on with you, you are right with you and everybody around you. There is no fear. There is no doubt. You are sure of your reason for being there, and baby, you are on top of your game. Now, you may have poop in your pants and puke on your shirt, but by golly, you're on top of your game, man. And I live to find that spot. And the problem with me, and the problem with a lot of people in this room, is that the longer we drank, the smaller that spot got. The smaller it got. And by the end of the road, there was no spot. There was just this thought that maybe this time I can get this stuff to work like it did in 1965. I got a shot. I'm sober now and I'm absolutely out of my mind. I'm sober now and I've got the shakes and the nightmares and the hallucinations, and I know if I just take a couple shots, I'll be all right. And we know nothing about this phenomenon of craving. That even though we're just taking a shot to calm the hands and take away the shakes and the tremors, we don't know nothing about this phenomenon of craving, where we're off and running and we're on another spree. And what happens to me happens to Bill and happens to people like you in this room is you begin to live a life of starting over. You're always starting over. Your life seems to be a series of fresh starts. And for a loser like me, that was the only way I could get hope. I didn't have hope. And the only way I could get hope was to start over. A new town, a new room, a new detox, whatever. A new shot at life. And maybe this time it'll be different. A life living of this insane idea. I didn't know about a brand new way of life. All I knew is that people were telling me to drink, and there came a time when I wanted to stop and I couldn't. There came a time when I bought the idea. There came a time in this young man's life when I thought, man, if I could just stop, I don't want to go through this stuff. And I couldn't. That it was a matter of a couple hours, I'm banging on the damn liquor store, or I'm breaking through and getting some wine. And I'm condemned to do something that I don't even want to do. And one more time, I begin to taste this thing called powerlessness. It came to me as weakness. It came to me as you can't handle it. It came to me as what kind of goof are you? But it didn't come to me as powerless. And I couldn't imagine life with it or without it. And I would stay drunk as long as I can, and I would stay sober as long as I can. And God, I wished I would die. But the trouble with the alcoholic is that the alcoholic death is very rarely sudden. It's very rarely the alcoholic death is sudden death. It's like being kicked to death by 1,000 bunnies. It just slowly wears you out. And there comes a time, if you're lucky, that there's just no other place to go. Two things have come natural to me in my life. One was drinking, and the other was crying for God in the middle of the night. No one had to tell me to do that, and I'd never been to church or was a religious guy. But it was an instinct. Isn't that amazing? One of the most instincts that most men have in common is how we cry for God when we need Him. When we're alone and crying in our pillow, we don't even know Him. And I was to begin to know myself as I was, and that my helpless condition, as Bill did. But it was not for that frightful day when I drank once more. And he starts talking about getting ready here. And the man's getting ready to do something that I wish we could have read further, but he's getting ready to start the reason why we're celebrating this weekend. The man's getting ready to visit his childhood friend, Ebby. That old rat bastard that got sober on him. Here comes this old crusty old drunk that was down there with the pigs in him, right? Getting ready to come to his little motel room. I got religion. Yeah, you do. You got something else, too. You know? How many times, man? And that guy sat across from him, and he's getting ready to tell him the story. And Bill just said, man, I'm happy for you, man. And just started drinking. And he was off on another drunk. And I'm not going to get into a big Founders Day talk or anything like that. We don't have time, but it's sure one of the most memorable moments in people in Alcoholics Anonymous is Founders Day. It's a very important day. But every one of us has got a Founders Day. Every one of us has got that day when somebody talked to us. Every one of us has got that day when we're at the end of our rope. And somebody put out their hand from Alcoholics Anonymous and said, come with me, son, you're going to AA. Everybody in here has got a Founders Day. And without that Founders Day, this Founders Day would mean nothing. But this Founders Day isn't a celebration of a moment. This Founders Day is a celebration of a hope. A hope that Bill had in that bed, in that hospital. And that hope was the very thing that came to him after the wind through the window. I used to think that that was the spiritual experience. For me, the spiritual experience was the next paragraph. When after the wind through the window, the man had the idea that I got to talk to another drunk. And that's what the hope is for Founders Day. He's hoping that you will perpetuate this gift and create a Founders Day for somebody else. That Alcoholics Anonymous isn't just a place for you to come and get. There's nothing to get here, but there's so many things to receive. So many things to receive. The only thing you're going to get here if you're new is be prepared to be divinely inconvenienced for the rest of your damn life. That's the damn truth. Because this is the longest thing I've ever done against my will, I tell you. Which is why it works so good. Has nothing to do with convenience. It has to do with doing the uncomfortable to get comfortable. Have to doing things totally against your grain. Totally against your what's left of your common sense, if you have totally against your liking. And these little obscure actions seem to light a little flame in the alcoholic. And what makes a home group like this so important is that every now and then there'll be a man in here who'll work with the sponsor and they'll take him through this stage of development. And a little flame will light. And for the first time in that alcoholic's life, he becomes enthusiastic. He becomes inspired to live instead of hang himself in the middle of the night. And if this home group has any backbone to it, you will fan that fire. You will encourage that man to go out and carry that message. The biggest problem in Alcoholics Anonymous is that most of these flames are sitting next to people who try to blow them out and tell them, you don't got to do that. You don't have to be that busy. That's the killer in AA, not whiskey. It's people in this room who are inactive trying to create a crowd. And killing new guys, telling them what they don't have to do. God damn it, if you're new, you become the busiest man I know. Make it your job to be busy. Make it your lifelong dream to carry this message and create a Founders Day in somebody else's life. Thank you very much.